This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, how you doing there, buddy?
Well, now that I'm inside, and it's, what, 75 in here or something like that?
Close, 72.
72, see? And it's 97,000 out there in that stinking parking lot with all the blacktop.
Well, this computer says 87, but yeah. I'll check the official temperature.
Yeah, what does a computer know about temperatures, for crying out loud? Anyway, I hope you guys are staying cool and your plants are cool. It's hard to be cool today.
I think. This says 90. Sorry.
Oh, good. 90. Well, anyway, thanks for listening. And this is a lawn and garden show. If you know, I'll give you suggestions on what to do and what's appropriate for your plants and how to keep them alive. And if you listen, I guarantee they'll keep alive. But if you don't listen and you think you know better than me, you're going to kill them.
Hey, I listened to you on my Easter lily.
Yeah, your Easter lily. Is it live?
Yeah. You know, the little things I was telling you was kind of wilting.
Yeah.
I took those off, and the ones that were okay are right up there in all green again.
Good.
Yeah. So, well, see, I listened to you.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Oh, we got a phone call already.
I haven't even said everything yet.
Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
There.
Uh-huh.
And for the most part, they're fine. But there'll be a section where there's three azaleas, one on each side. They're like a couple feet apart, and the one in the middle is looking crispy and brown leaves and trying to die. And then over in the backyard, the ones farthest down, they're great. They're green, wonderful. The ones over by the pond, great, green, wonderful. The ones up in the center island, brown, crispy, trying to die. It's like... one of the questions I had was, I have sulfur in my well water. Is that causing a problem, you think, or is it something else?
It could be part of the problem. Now, are the azaleas in the sun or the shade?
Both.
Well, the ones that are crispy and brown, where are they, sun or shade?
Both.
No, both. morning sun, afternoon shade, or what? What's the...
Well, that's what's so weird. The ones that go down the side of the house are all morning sun.
Uh-huh.
They're the ones that are towards the back. Some are in the direct sun and some are not. And it seems like it's not making any difference because, like I said, they'll be right in a row and two of them will look fine and one of them looks like it's crisping and drying and dying.
So have you checked for any root weevil or anything like that in the soil? And all you'd have to do is dig down beside the ball of roots and excavate a bit of soil and see if there's little eggs or little varmints in there eating the roots, because root weevil could get in there and begin to eat the feeder roots, and consequently the plant dies. And if it's just one out of a group of three, if it happens to the one on the left or the right, you'll know that it's a critter problem. It's, and you have to treat it accordingly.
Okay, what do these look like? What do I look for?
They're very small, and sometimes they're gray or tan in color, and I don't want to say microscopic, but they're really tiny, and what they do is they'll be right there on the edge of the ball of roots, and if you see any activity there or eggs, if they might lay eggs in there too for the next generation, you want to douse them with some kind of an insecticide that takes care of root weevil, or any that type of insecticide will also take care of any other subterranean insects that are trying to destroy your azaleas and stuff. I don't know that the ones that are crispy and brown, I don't know that they will recover. Maybe they're beyond that.
Okay. What would you recommend as the herbicide?
Well, if you go up to the co-op in Roseburg here, they'll have a whole section toward the back of the store on different insecticides, not a herbicide, it's insecticide, and they'll have maybe five or six varieties, and one or two will say specifically for root weevils or grubs or something along those lines, and that's the one you want to pick.
Okay, and I had one more other question.
Sure.
I've had several, what do you call them? They're all blooming right now, and it just completely went out of my head. Oh, what is the? I have a shrub variety and a tree variety, and they're all blooming everywhere but here.
Uh-huh.
Oh man, crepe myrtle.
How
do I get ever bloom? I mean, I've had them here for years, never got any blooms. They come back every year.
Uh-huh.
They get leaves, no blossoms. Is there a certain type of fertilizer or something I should be doing there?
Yeah, get a blooming type fertilizer, and it's specifically to enhance the blooming process, which every fertilizer has three numbers on the bag: nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. To get something
mm-hmm.
to bloom, you want high phosphorus and high potassium and low nitrogen. So go ahead.
Yeah, I see they have that Miracle Grow, I think, does it, but I don't know.
That's worthless.
That's what I was going to say. Didn't think the best one.
That's good for a hanging basket or something like that. But other than that, you want to get something that's in a granular form. And again, they'll say what they're good for right on the package. But don't do a lawn food. Get something that is specifically for shrubs. And like I say, low in nitrogen, that would be the first percentage, and then high in the phosphorus and the potassium, which invigorates the root system. And if there's any life in that plant at all, it could bring it back. But in the interim, you want to do all your plants that way as a preventive measure.
Okay, now what's a good time to do this? I was thinking waiting until the rains start?
No, as soon as possible, like tomorrow morning. Yeah.
Okay, sure. Okay. That tells me what I need to know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for the call.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All righty. That was a good way to start it.
Yeah. I don't think we ever had a call right out of the box there.
No, not.
That's good. Thank you.
Yeah, come on, man.
That's an inside joke.
Yes.
But if you do have a question, 672-4464 is the number to call. And ask any question, and I'll give you any answer you want. How's that? I'll give you one that's as correct and to the best of my knowledge. But with this weather out here, 90 degrees plus, this is a continuation of tough plants that can handle long periods of hot, dry weather and how to take care of them. In other words, the last caller talked about there's a water problem too. It could be a water problem, could be a bug problem, could be a combination of both. And you want to make sure when you have things like azaleas and rhodies and blooming type plants that you have to compensate for the hot weather and the dry ground continually day after day after day. But if you've got a brand new yard or you want to add some things to your yard and they're out in the sun and it's really stinking hot out in the sun, I've got a few suggestions for you today and what types of plants you could plant and how to take care of them. So first and foremost, though, and this is a real key to everything, is to plant some shade trees, for crying out loud, on the west and south sides of your property so that you can create shade and have something there that in the future will cool your entire yard off on a 90-degree day or a 100-degree day.
And if you're like me, you don't know which west side or north, ask somebody.
Well, yeah, the west side is toward the coast, okay, and the east side is towards Mount Thielson.
All right.
And if you got that down, you can handle it. Even you can handle that, Dale.
I know where the coast is.
There you go. There you go. That's west. But, plant some shade trees. I see so many new homes where people are newly moved in and, throughout the year, not just yesterday or the day before, but they moved in, and they'll plant a lawn maybe and a few little shrubs out there, but the house is facing west, or the house is facing south, like the front of the house, and there's no shade trees. And I see that time after time after time after time. And you want to, if you're buying a new home, even if you don't plan on living there for 20 years, you just maybe for resale within 3 to 5 years, a shade tree or two shade trees, or depending on the size of the lot, three shade trees is going to really enhance the landscape, and it's going to give you some shade and protection for any of the other plants that you might have, as foundation plantings or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it also enhances resaleability sometime in the future, because when somebody pulls up to a yard and there's some nice shade trees there, it's more inviting. It looks better, and it enhances saleability for sure. But west side and south side, that's the two hot sides, especially to the south. And and like any shade, going to cool your yard and your home at least for a few degrees as they grow. More shade and coolness, it gets cooler and nicer. And if you have a lawn out there, and the lawn is good, and the lawn actually cools your yard as well. Each one of those tiny grass blades that are growing green and lush, mm-hmm. they're hooked into the water system, to moisture in the soil, and they act as natural air conditioners. It might only be a degree or a half a degree. I don't know. I've never measured it, but
it counts.
That, exactly. Every degree counts when you're looking at 100 degrees or 102 degrees or stuff like that. Any kind of tree, any kind of lawn, any kind of shrubbery will have a tendency to cool off your entire yard, and that's the thing. Especially we've had how many stinking days of this hot weather, man.
Well, they say Friday and Saturday. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I don't even want to hear that.
Could be 100 plus.
Oh, great! Yeah.
But who knows? Yeah, They've been wrong before.
Oh, yeah. I pray for their wrongness. I want 75, even 80 degrees. That's good. That's livable.
Yeah.
And it's livable not only for plants, but also for us humans.
That's true.
It's a good
even
thing.
The aliens go away.
Yeah, I do. I know. But and even if you've been in your home, several years and it's new to you, think about, hey, What kind of tree would do well? Start going tree shopping, and as soon as the weather breaks, and it's going to break one of these days.
Oh,
it's going to
be
cooler, and it's going to be wetter.
It's going to be boom, just like that.
Yeah, probably. No hesitation.
Oh,
bam,
no.
We're in floods. But that would be the time to plant any new trees. And like I say, you don't want to crowd them in there. You want to give them some space. You want to give them at least 20, 25 feet of space between trees, and maybe make a trio of them. You have to know what your cardinal directions are, because you don't have to worry about the north side so much, or even the east side, because that's going to be cooler simply because the sun doesn't hit there all day long. Especially on the east, you get morning sun, afternoon shade, so you're better off in the backyard, if that's the way it's facing. But
speaking of facing, we're facing a break.
Okay, if we have to. I was on a roll.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure.
We'll be back with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, and you can give us a call.
673-4464.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Far from an expert I am. But anyway, news director Kyle Bailey just stepped in, said the cooling center will be open, I believe he said Friday, opening Friday, and schools in the Roseburg area may also close on Friday because of the heat, which is expected to be near 100, 99 degrees, and 102 on Saturday, but that there's no school on the weekends, obviously. So, But I got to do this, and we'll be right back.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, now we're official.
Are we official finally?
I hope so.
You're confusing me, you know. I'm just a gardener, okay?
Okay, me too, basically.
Okay. Anyway, I'm talking about creating shade and creating a coolness for your home of natural air conditioning, like trees, shade trees, nice big maples and things like that. But I'll give you a short list quickly about the types of trees that are going to grow quickly and tolerate many hot days in a row, like we've been having.
Oh, yeah.
Trees that are best, your best friend, in that not only did they shade and cool, but they are beautiful as well. Now, so for shade, a tree like a maple, there's so many different varieties of maple. Some are fast growing, some are slow growing, some are small, dwarf. You don't want anything small and dwarf. Japanese maples are pretty, but they're not a shade tree until they're 40 years old or something like that. But a fast growing maple like a Red Sunset or Autumn Fantasy, those are good ones to have. They grow very quickly and they provide a tremendous amount of shade, and it will really cool your yard several degrees on these hot days. But and don't, like I said earlier, don't plant them too close to a structure, or in time you'll have a problem with maybe a branch or two falling on the roof, or your gutters being full of leaves.
Are the roots growing through your house?
Well, I've not known that yet.
Oh, really? Okay.
But they can grow under concrete patios and kind of crack the patios and things like that.
Yeah,
so you want to give them some space, and when you give them some space, you forego any destruction to your home, and also it grows better when it has the space to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't have to fight a concrete foundation or a patio, the roots really do well.
No blockage.
Yeah, so at least 20 feet away, minimum. Yeah. That's your minimum. If you can get 30 feet away, it's even better. From the house, the garage, you know, that kind of thing. And choose a tree that is long-lived, you know. In other words, a maple or some kind of an oak or birches. You know, those kinds of things are, those kind of trees are long-lived. Now, a birch provides some shade. It's not as heavy as a maple or an oak. But I said earlier that there are, I think we have, you know, at least five or six or seven varieties of different types of maples that we sell every year. Mm. And some grow slower. Some don't get as tall as, maybe 20, 25 feet. Well, you want to get something that's going to get up to about 30, 35 feet eventually and really shade your yard. That's cool. And to give you an example, Kyle Bailey's backyard is very well shaded in the afternoon. There's this huge, huge maple tree in his backyard. It must be, 50 feet tall easily.
And that's got to be older than I am.
Well, yeah, it probably is. It's probably 107. But every time I work over there occasionally once a year or so for, to fix his place up. And, the backyard is always shady. It's always cool in the backyard. Mm-hmm. Whereas you get into the front yard, which is in full sun, there's a real temperature difference between back and front. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that you want to look for. Now,
so he's got a pretty nice backyard then when it's hot.
Yes, exactly.
Nice.
I mean, this tree not only isn't, like I say, 50, maybe 60 feet tall, but the spread of the branches are, 40 to 50 feet wide. So it blocks off. I mean, his backyard is totally almost all shaded by 3 o'clock, 2:30. Probably in there.
Just right for him when he gets home.
There you go. And it's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. Cool house.
And then once you get the trees in, the shrubs are something that you can do over time. You don't have to whap them in all in one weekend or even in one year. Shop around and look for heavy duty, full sun, dry land type shrubs that can take not being watered every other week or something like that, and they'll be good. So don't be in a hurry to plant your yard all at once. I know sometimes in the spring it's one thing, or even in the fall it's another thing, but in summertime planting, if you're just starting out, wait for some coolness to hit, and then really be thoughtful about the shrubs that you pick, and ask questions from the nursery or plant place that you buy them from about how big do these get? Will they take sun? Will they take heat? Do they need shade? You know, those are all critical questions if you're going to have success in your landscape.
Sounds like next month might be an ideal month to start.
Well, October is very nice. October and November are usually really nice months to plant. And then December, January, that's like pruning time, you know, fix up, clean up, add some bark mulch here and there, prune the fruit trees, prune the shade
get
trees.
Get ready for spring.
Yeah, getting ready for spring, exactly. Yeah. So by February, you know, we start to turn, the weather starts to turn a little bit. We always get a week or so in February that's almost like spring before March slams us.
Yeah, you know? Fake spring. Yeah.
But yeah, take advantage of that.
Absolutely.
Know? It's okay. But some of the plants, these are just some suggestions that I know that'll work, and it's okay to look around. But for shaded areas, you know, you can try azaleas and rhododendrons; they'll do well, or Daphne. Winter Daphne does really well. But in the sunny areas, you know, that are going to be hot, the south and west sides, if they're the most open, you can try Nandina, which is an evergreen. A shrub, and there are three sizes and three types that I grow. One is a dwarf that only gets about, you know, 3 feet maybe tall and wide, and then there's the Moyer's Red Nandina that gets up to, oh, we can get up 6 feet in time. But these guys are full sun jobs. These guys are, I've got a group, I call them the Mama Nandinas. They're out in my field. That's where we take cuttings from them, and I've got about 100 of them out there. We haven't watered them in years, and they're beautiful. I mean, they're out there in that full sun.
Yeah.
They got semis going by because the mill is across the street. They got semis going by, dust on them all the time, and not one has died in the 20 some odd years or 30 years that I've lived, you know, worked there and owned the place, and so that's what we take cuttings from. So that when my daughter Jill takes cuttings in January usually, and they're on heat beds, and then we probably have a 90% success rate for them throwing roots.
Nice.
And that's how tough that plant is. So a little bit of sunshine ain't gonna hurt it.
Hurt them. Nah.
And if you water it once in a while, it's really gonna do good.
Yeah, they don't need that air conditioning.
No, they don't. Another plant that would do real well, sun, I plant them, there's parking lots around here at the different banks that we landscaped over the years.
Yeah.
It's called Escalonia. Escalonia is an evergreen shrub, and it has kind of a small, shiny green leaf, and it just loves the heat. And nothing, you can't get it hot enough. I mean, it's just like,
bring it on, baby.
Bring it on. I can handle this. I mean, that's the way we are. And then it blooms all spring and most of the summer.
Nice.
And it has a bright pink bloom. And it's just full of blooms. Yeah. And so it's very decorative and it's very tough. The sun, it loves the sun and it doesn't mind being dry. So with the kind of current weather that we've been having, where we're getting less precipitation.
If only
winter.
I could find a wife like that.
Well, I can't help you there. I mean, all I know is plants. I'm sorry.
Can't grow wives.
No, can't do that. And then it'll grow, Escalonia will grow, you know, maybe 5 feet tall and 5 or 6 feet wide. It makes a nice hedge if you want a natural hedge, or it just makes a nice foundation planting as long as you get it far enough from the foundation plant that it's not growing into the house, you know.
So it needs space as well.
It needs space. All of these need space. And that's probably one of the big things that I see when I go to people's yards. They want a master cleanup or something like that. And I'm looking at the original landscaping and everything is just jammed together. And so, I mean, they're planted 2 feet apart or three feet apart. And so consequently, what happens, they're battling for the water in the ground. They're battling for the nutrition.
Yeah.
And they can't really grow the way they should because they're beautiful when they're, you know, by themselves and you can see them, but when they're all jammed together, it loses its value that way.
Yeah.
So you want to space these things out. You can always add more smaller stuff eventually, but let's say you got a 30-foot bed along the south side of your house, and it's, you know, say 4 feet wide, and you don't want to put a plant every 2 feet because that's going to be a maintenance nightmare in a few years.
Whoa.
But if you put them 6-7 feet apart, you think, well, that's too far, and they're too small, and they'll never grow together. Wrong. They will grow, and they will have the room to grow, and they'll have the room to be healthy, and they won't be fighting other plants for the available water or the soil nutrition that they need to prosper. So it's that
there
simple.
There you go.
Spread them out. But if you have them that far, you can always put in some annuals or some perennials in between them for color, and which are much smaller plants. And, mm-hmm. and they're just color items, you know, for the summer. And as time goes by and, the regular shrubs are getting larger and larger, you can transplant the perennials or the annuals, if you have any, to other parts of your yard. It's
okay.
It's not a big thing.
It's not a permanent space.
No, it's not a permanent thing.
Ah.
Now, a bigger plant is forsythia. If you got a large yard and you maybe want to do a privacy kind of screen or a screen that cuts down the noise from the neighbors or the neighborhood or something like that, you could try forsythia. Forsythia, you'll notice it in the spring mostly because it's the one plant that's blooming bright, bright yellow flowers all over it, and it's a wild-looking plant. It'll grow 5-6 feet easy, maybe 7 feet if you never prune it, but it fills a big space, but it the sun doesn't hurt it, the heat doesn't hurt it. It just grows in spite of all that heat and sun, but it's a very colorful plant, and usually it starts to bloom early spring, you know, March. It's blooming in March. Sometimes even in February, you'll start to see them.
Yeah.
And it's an old-fashioned plant. It's been around a long time. But it's good. We got a break here?
We do. We have a break.
I will return.
Absolutely. What's our phone number?
673-4464.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're looking at 91 degrees at the moment.
Boy, I'm excited. Yeah.
I think we'll hit 95.
Oh, not if I can help it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. Anyway, I'm talking about plants that can survive in this heat and actually grow. And so far, I've been through Nandina and Escalonia and Forsythia. And then you can always count on juniper.
Oh, yeah.
Juniper are a desert plant.
They
are all over the place, and they grow not because of us. They grow in spite of us, and they'll just do well. And, you know, the first year or anything gets watered and taken care of. But a juniper, you know, if you watered it twice the first year, say, hey, thanks, that's enough for me. I don't need any more.
I don't need it.
And they would just keep on growing. But and juniper are different. I mean, there's a lot of pretty junipers. I was doing my research this morning and afternoon on junipers, and in the Western Garden Book, I counted 71 varieties of juniper. And they give the name, and they, you know, this is how large it grows, and I knew quite a few of them, but there was some that I wasn't familiar with, and it was amazing. I mean, they all just, they're vigorous. I mean, they don't miss a trick, man, and
they're all tough.
Yeah, very tough. And you try, you know, if you have them in the ground for 3 or 4 years or 5 years, go ahead and try to get them back out.
No, mama.
It's a real work day for them.
They have taken over that space.
Right. But if you have a hot, sunny area, maybe with a slope, a juniper, a ground cover type juniper would work really well. And I've got a list of them on page 6 of my notes here, but I might not get there today, but I'll get there next week. But another plant is a native. It's called Oregon grape. Oregon grape grows in clear cuts, in rocky soil, in full sun, in shade. I mean, it's a very versatile plant. It's evergreen and actually has edible grapes.
Oh, it does. Okay.
Oh, yeah, small. They're not real tasty sometimes, and they're small, like the back end of an eraser, you know, something like that on a pencil eraser. They're about that big, a little bit bigger maybe. But they bloom yellow. They're evergreen. They're gorgeous. And you don't have to do anything to them. And they look good all the time. And you can walk up any clear cut in Douglas County and you'll find thousands of Oregon grape. It's our state flower, of course. You'll see thousands of them growing in clear cuts, you know, like the fires. Okay, the fires that we had up the North Umpqua.
Right.
My wife and I drove up there to look at the damage, you know, after it all cooled off. And, you know, hundreds of millions of dead trees everywhere. But along the highway, you could also see three plants that had come back after having survived the fire, burned to the ground. They came back from the roots. One was a big leaf maple tree. Another one was an Oregon grape. It was beautiful. Came back like somebody just freshly planted it there. And the other one was blackberries.
Of course.
Blackberries. You can't keep a good blackberry now, buddy.
You cannot.
That's what you call a no-maintenance yard or burn them out or something, you know. I don't know.
When in doubt.
Yeah, when in doubt. But Oregon grape is a very nice plant, and it's a no-brainer plant. And as long as you don't overdo the water or overdo the fertilizer, it's going to be beautiful for you. It's tough. It's evergreen, and it's not going to wilt. That's good. Then if you want an evergreen, you got dwarf mugo pine that would fit along with the juniper. The dwarf mugo pine is just a multi-stemmed small pine tree, and if you keep it pruned and tight, it looks good, or you can let it get leggy and grow, and it still looks good, but it's something that does not need water.
Nice.
Next on my list is pyracantha. Pyracantha.
Pyra.
Yeah. It's a wild plant. I mean, it's wild. You plant one twig of a pyracantha, and next thing you know, you go, wow, where did that come from?
It's like a blackberry.
Oh, yeah, just like one. But it flowers.
Oh.
It has beautiful flowers, white flowers, and then the white flowers turn into red berries. It's also evergreen.
Nice.
It makes an impenetrable hedge because it has these inch-long thorns all through it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So if you're running away from something and you run through a pyracantha hedge, you're going to come out bleeding on the other side.
And
they're very painful. Very painful. And, you know, once in a while, if you're pruning one of these things, you get one of those thorns in your hand, it hurts.
Ouch.
I mean, I think there's some kind of a poison in there that makes it really hurt. It's not just, you know,
it's
a
not
stick.
Just the, yeah.
Not just a stick with a sharp needle or anything. It's like, wow, what's wrong, man? My hand's numb.
I can't move it.
But it's an impenetrable hedge, and it'll grow in the rocky soil, cruddy soil, clay soil. Nothing hurts it. And as long as you've got a large enough yard and you want to make some kind of a barrier, that's a good plant to have. Don't put it near the house. Don't put it near the driveway. Don't put it near the front door. But get it out in the back 40 if you've got a back 40. And do that.
Don't put it in the pasture where you got your livestock.
Oh, God forbid, yeah. Of course, the birds love the berries.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. They'll come in the fall when the berries are there, late August, 1st of September somewhere, and the berries are nice and getting ripe.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll come in there and just eat every one of those suckers. Yeah.
Delicious table feedings.
Yeah. And the last little thing I got, there's more to this list. I just wanted to give you a few ideas. Huckleberry. Huckleberry, something that's edible, something that's good. And it's a pretty plant, and you can eat the fruit. And, again, this is a tough plant, takes full sun, doesn't need a whole bunch of care. I mean, if you watered it too much, it would die because it's not that kind of a plant. That's the way it is. So, and going back to the Nandina, like I was talking about a little bit earlier, there's the dwarf varieties and then the taller varieties, and they're all evergreen. And the dwarf, I like the dwarf. It's a good tough plant, can take the heat, can take the sun, all that kind of stuff. But the leaves are multicolored, and there's green, light green, dark green, kind of some orange, and in the wintertime when it gets cold, all the leaves turn red. Deep red. Very nice. Colorful.
Yeah.
And it does flower in the spring, but the flowers are really small, and you know, you wouldn't call it a flowering shrub. But the foliage is absolutely outrageously beautiful.
Jeez.
And it's a no-brainer plant. Put it in the ground, forget it, leave it alone, and enjoy it.
Nice.
It makes a good little hedge. The dwarf variety would be a small hedge separation from your driveway to your lawn, or you know, anything like that.
Yeah. And there's not much care.
No care. It's a no care plant. That's why I'm bringing all these up. These are no care jobs, you know.
I don't care plant.
And if you water them, you're going to kill them. Okay, it's simple. Oh gosh, the taller varieties are beautiful too, but they're not as full as the dwarf varieties. And along the front of my nursery, I have kind of a demonstration landscape. Right next to the highway, and I've got some dwarf Nandina in there and some weeping blue atlas cedar and things like that. And when I'm showing people around and telling them about the various plants, I say, here, come on up to the front, let me show you what it looks like in a few years. And they see that and they go, wow, that's gorgeous, and they'll buy, you know. And
yeah.
And I've got little displays everywhere in the nursery that people can get ideas from and actually see how large a plant gets, or what kind of flowers it has, or you know, how you can prune it. So it's kind of a, well, it is. I did this to be able to demonstrate to people.
Show and tell.
Yeah, you buy this, it doesn't have to stay this way. And if it gets larger, you can prune it. And if you prune it, bingo, this is what it'll look like. And they get the idea and they go, oh, it doesn't hurt it. No, it doesn't hurt it. It's like cutting your fingernails, man. And they grow back. Your fingers don't fall off.
I was thinking about that Oregon grape. I think I probably have seen those.
Oh, yeah, you have. They're all over.
You said they were yellow?
Yeah, yellow flower and then a purple grape.
I don't know if I've seen the grape, but I've seen them.
The leaves look kind of like a holly. They're pointed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're a couple inches long and maybe an inch wide, and they're pointed. And so if you grabbed a branch full of them, it's not going to feel comfortable.
No. Now I know what those suckers are.
No, they're not suckers. They're Oregon grape.
Oregon grape. I never knew what those were.
Yeah, okay.
See, I learned something today.
There you go. It's about time.
Yes.
I've only been doing this for 20 years. Whoa. Oh, jeez Louise. But anyway, the Nandina are one of my favorites. I use a lot of it. We grow a lot of it. We grow, couple 300 of them a year, and
a bunch.
And they all root out really well, and we do it in the greenhouse and all that, and it's under ideal conditions to root out, because you know, we take the cuttings in December and January, and by mid-March, 1st of April, we're taking them out of the flats and putting them in the small pots, and then by the end of that summer they're saleable.
Quick turnaround.
Yeah, it is. It really
nice.
Is. And we got quite a backlog of those, too. But,
You ready for a break?
Yeah, I'm ready for a break.
All right. I was just thinking you might want to check on that vine I gave you. Maybe take it over your...
I will.
If it's anything like its mama.
I was wondering what was on my roof.
We'll be back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, and our phone number is
673-4464.
93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN News Radio.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hey, we are back. We got a lot of, well, not a lot of time, but we have time for your phone call is what I'm trying to get out.
Yeah, 673-4464. And why do you keep forgetting that?
I don't know. Old timers.
Old timers, yeah, I can imagine. But we have been talking, or I have been talking about tough plants that you could put in that's gonna, in your yard that are going to take the heat, not going to wilt away, not going to... give you a bunch of problems, and you're not going to have to water every week or anything like that. It's start out with the tough stuff, and you can have some of the other stuff too, but you're not going to run up your water bill to $150 a week or whatever it is nowadays in Roseburg. And they're all the plants that I've spoken about so far today, they're very attractive in their own way. And they're different, and it's a good combo. Everything that I talked about, you could put in. And, you know, there are other things like lilacs, for instance. Lilacs are very, very tough. They're deciduous. They lose their leaves. But, you know, when they're blooming, you can't beat the color. You can't beat how beautiful they are. And this is how tough they are. We've got... I guess maybe a half a dozen or more lilacs planted around our place where we live. And some of them are on the other side of the creek. Well, they don't get a lot of extra care. And sometimes we forget them for a couple of weeks and go, oh, you know, because we've got to carry water from the creek to them to water them. And I think we transplanted about five of them over there. And every one of them is still alive. They've been in the ground 2 years now, I believe. Maybe probably two for sure, two hot summers at least, and they're doing well, and they might get watered maybe twice a month in the hot part of the summer, and as soon as the first rains fall in hopefully September, it's good to go till the following June, for crying out loud, and you get blooms, you get bees pollinating, all that kind of stuff, and they're very, very tough. That's another, and there's multiple colors as far as lilacs are concerned. It's an old-fashioned plant and been around forever and ever, but it does a really good job, and it's easy, and it won't suffer in dry, hot sun, and I know because I've done the experiments. I've done this on purpose just to see how tough are you going to be. I mean, I talk about this, and the book says this, but I'm going to test it, and I've got hundreds of test plots at my nursery and at my home just to see if the
book knows what they're talking about.
Do they know what they're talking about?
Yeah.
Or are they just kind of hedging their bet and hopefully not, you know, that kind of thing.
Blowing in the wind.
Yeah, blowing in the wind. There you go. But and they can be pruned, they can be shaped, they can be kept small. You can prune them in trees. I've got several that I've pruned into trees, and then I've got several that are small shrubs. So, you know, you can go both ways on that. And if you don't prune them, they can grow 7 or 8 feet tall very easily and almost as wide. But if you have a large spot to fill, maybe they're even good for a privacy screen. Except they do lose their leaves in the winter. But they're very full and impenetrable as far as vision if you use them for a summer screen. And that's the flowers and the plant itself. And it's an old-fashioned plant. Everybody's got lilacs. You know, you can't go a block in Roseburg without seeing lilac bushes somewhere in somebody's yard.
And if I recall, they're various colors.
Yes, and whites and reds and purples and blues and different deep shades of purple, mm-hmm. light shades of purple. I haven't done a whole lot of research on them. We have white ones. White ones and purple ones and blue ones and things like that. But
Mom had a big old lilac bush.
Yeah.
And it was purple, and you could smell it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very, very fragrant.
Oh,
very
yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Bees loved it.
Bees love it. My father-in-law, and I've spoken about this in the past, he used to live in the high desert country there between Susanville and Reno, Nevada. Susanville, California, Reno, Nevada. And at his front gate, he had this big, beautiful white lilac. I mean, it was huge. It was almost like a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, one day, my wife said, I'd like to have a start off that. And he went out and dug up a root with a little bit of stem on it and says, here, take it home. Oh, gosh. Well, you know, it was maybe 6 inches, 8 inches tall. That's about it.
Yeah.
So we planted it beside our entryway. It's a large, wide entryway because I like to drive a truck over to deliver stuff. And but that lilac is now somewhere around 10 feet tall and 10 feet wide.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And again, neglected like nobody's business. And it has the most beautiful white flowers you ever saw. And they're just fragrant as all get out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I can remember that smell yet today.
Yeah. And you can, and like I say, it came from a 6-inch stub that my father-in-law dug up.
In the desert.
In the desert, in the high desert, where it snows 2 feet every winter and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, oh well.
Have you ever cut any other things off of it, planted it elsewhere?
No, I haven't tried a lilac. I because they're so easy to come by, you know.
Oh.
I try to. We propagate plants. A lot of plants we propagate where they're not rare, but there's not a lot of them. Let's put it that way.
Oh,
And you know, just to have some different stock in the nursery, and
that makes sense.
Yeah, and we buy a lot of stock. in like 4-inch pots or something that from another grower, you know, there's growers that all they do is grow the small stuff, sell it, and you can get a small 4-inch pot for $1.50, and it's got a little tree in it or a little shrub or something like that. You take it to the nursery and repot it into the next size and leave it back for 3 to 4 months, and it's fully rooted out and it start to grow really nice. Then you can put it up in the retail for sale, you know, or some of them it takes a year to come around to where it's saleable and nice looking. I hate to sell little scrawny plants. That irritates me.
It just doesn't seem right.
No. What do you got that scrawny plant there for, buddy?
Well, we got about 10 seconds.
Well, 10 seconds. I got more notes for next week. I'm ready to go. And thank you for listening. I hope you learned something. And if not, call the nursery. And
what are we going to talk about next week?
More of this kind of thing. Because as long as we're in this hot, dry spell, I think people's attention is
got to relate to that.
Right there, yeah.
All right. Well, you have a good week. Stay cool.
Oh, yeah, I will. I'm going to sit in this room all week.
All right. We'll catch you later.
All right. Thank you.